Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we're not talking about royalties in the first part of this program, but we are talking about something very similar. We're talking about people in this community who do not have housing, who do not have homes, who do not have a place to live. Many are living outside because they refuse to go to shelters, and they live in encampments, many under the MLK bridges and under the Jones Falls Expressway, in camps they constructed for themselves, that they govern themselves and live there together with themselves for their own safety. The mayor tore down one encampment under MLK and is in the process of tearing down an encampment under JFX. But what has happened is the official standard bearers to fight homelessness in Baltimore, among others, pushed the mayor, and the mayor is now saying we're not going to do it right away, but still is intent on doing it. We're going to find out what's happening there, what the political situation is, the reality on the ground, with Adam Schneider, who's Director of Community Relations at Healthcare for the Homeless. Good to have you here once again, Adam. Great
hey,
to see
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Mark. Good to see you.
And y'all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here, talk at steinershow.org. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. Log on to our Facebook pages. But please join us, 410-319-8888. So now I think if you live in Baltimore and you are not homeless and you're driving or walking around the city, you can't help but see throngs of homeless people living in tents in different parts of downtown Baltimore and its surroundings. So what is the situation now across from your building?
Yeah, I mean, this has become sort of a part of the urban landscape over the past 30 or 40 years. People who are, essentially economic refugees in, the wealthiest country in the history of the world, in our major cities, people whose incomes are so low, people who lack the supports and services that they need to access and maintain housing. Across from Healthcare for the Homeless, as well as lots of other places in the city, folks are, banding together, creating communities really against all odds, to provide one another support and security in some of the most terrible conditions that I can imagine. That only becomes tougher when these communities are displaced, when belongings are discarded, instead of addressing the problems that ultimately would result in no need for encampment, that is, by providing housing and services so that people can access housing and stay in it.
So, all right, and so then this is – I'm going to try to look at the situation from two different angles here.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you have the mayor of the city of Baltimore and the established leaders of the city of Baltimore who say, look, you can't have tent cities throughout the city of Baltimore. It's not healthy. It's not safe. It just can't be allowed to be sitting in the middle of downtown and under expressways that are dangerous. And that's why we have shelters. And they have to be dismantled. So I mean, we just can't let them sit here. And the mayor is saying that she's going to make sure that mental health services are provided and looking at their housing needs and more. So what's the response to that? I mean, that is kind of a...
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think that anybody thinks that encampments are healthy or safe places for people to be. But it's not the encampments that make people unsafe or unhealthy. It's homelessness itself that makes people unsafe and unhealthy. Homelessness is bad for people's health. Homelessness exacerbates existing conditions. It creates conditions. It complicates treatments and services. Homelessness is bad for people's health. Homelessness is not safe, absolutely. Now, there's no evidence to suggest that living in an encampment is less safe than living in some other anonymous corner. In fact, there's some evidence that suggests that it is safer to be in a community and to be in a place that is relatively stable and consistent where you can engage, where outreach workers, where other service providers can engage you. So I think that it's a red herring to say encampments are not healthy or safe. Encampments, homelessness itself is not healthy or safe. To the bigger point, I think, that we should not allow encampments to continue. I think that's right. We shouldn't. In the wealthiest state and the wealthiest country in the history of the world, we absolutely should not allow our neighbors, many of whom are our most vulnerable community members, to live in such conditions. The question isn't whether we allow encampments to continue. The question is, what's the way to end encampments? And there are a number of service providers and organizations that, following the destruction of the encampment at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, came together. Organizations that don't always agree on everything came together and said there is only one way to end encampments, and that is by ending homelessness itself, by ending the homelessness of the people who live in encampments. In encampments, can we close those encampments? And by ending homelessness in Baltimore, can we make it can we do away with encampments for good? That's the way that we end it. Simply moving people is like playing a game of whack-a-mole, a terribly, terribly inhumane game of whack-a-mole, where people are moved from one place to another.
So the folks joining us here, 410-319-8888. I mean, this problem has come, I'll just say a quick historical note. I mean, there was relatively little homelessness in America before 1980, which is when President Ronald Reagan and others decided that in his government they were going to begin to cut subsidies, federal subsidies for housing, which has been dwindled dwindling every year since then, right?
Jimmy Carter actually was the first president in the sort of modern age to start cutting subsidies for poor people's housing. He said government isn't the answer to our problems. Ronald Reagan, you're right. President Reagan said the government is the problem, and so he really slashed it. And those cuts in affordable housing have not been restored in any way, shape, or form through the Bush administration, through the Clinton administration, through the second Bush administration, through the Obama administration. And that disinvestment in affordable housing for people who are poor, together with a growing divide between the rich and the poor, deeper poverty among more and more people. You know, in Baltimore City, one in four people live in poverty. And half of the people that are poor live below half of the federal poverty line. That's amazing. You know, when that's the case, when there is such poverty and there is a lack of investment in affordable housing, homelessness is the result.
Right, so let me ask you this question. I agree. We've been covering this with intensity for the last 22 years, as you know.
That's really unfortunate, isn't it?
It is unfortunate. We've had this conversation. Not a month goes by at least when we don't have this conversation on the air, at least monthly, if not more, to talk about where we're going and what we're doing. So, you know, before we get the phones here, 410-319-8888, get to that call coming in line one. Quick question here, then we'll go to Christina, our first caller up. I'm mayor of Baltimore. You're mayor of Baltimore. We're in the situation we're in at this moment, mm-hmm. where there is no housing, literally no housing to put people in, at least that I know of in the city, that exists, extant. You have dozens to hundreds, whatever that number is, of people living outside, either on street corners, who do not want to go to the shelters, which I've been inside the shelters, and some of them are really, a couple of them really good, but most of them are really hard places that most people who live in a home right now would not even dream of having to spend a night in, let alone more than a night. But you have all these people living on the street, so what do you do? I mean, what's supposed to become of the people and the encampment under JFX? What is the mayor supposed to do?
So we can do a couple of things. I mean, one of the things that we can do is we can, without dedicating additional resources to shelters, make sure that our shelters are better, are more trauma-informed. But shelters aren't going to solve the problem.
No.
What will solve the problem is first by working really intentionally to remove the barriers that exist to currently accessible existing permanent supportive housing. There's not nearly enough of it, but that's one thing that we could do immediately. The Baltimore Housing Authority has a lot of flexibility, and we should be taking advantage of all of that flexibility to ensure access to housing that exists. And then we need to develop and implement an affordable housing plan for Baltimore. We've been talking about this for a long time, but haven't been doing it.
Right.
And that could include a lot of different pieces. There are folks that are exploring community land trusts. That should be a part of this. We should be talking about how we can maximize the use of resources in public housing. We should be thinking about how under new leadership at the Baltimore Development Corporation, that entity might focus additional energy and efforts on developing housing for people who live in Baltimore who are struggling with housing. So I think that there's lots of different things that we could be doing.
So instead of tearing down the encampment, what should the mayor do?
Instead of tearing down the encampments, the mayor should work with service providers to ensure that services are being provided and that these folks are being connected with all of the existing resources, and then to develop additional resources. Moving people – I mean, tearing down the encampments isn't going to end the homelessness of the people there. It's just going to move them to another place, and ultimately it's going to make it more difficult to get them off the streets and back in the mainstream.
So your ideas and thoughts about what to do about these with folks who are forced to live in encampments, where we should be going, what our solutions are, 410-319-8888 is the number here as we talk with Adam Schneider, who is Director of Community Relations at Healthcare for the Homeless, 410-319-8888. Christina in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Christina.
Good morning to you too, Adam.
Good morning.
It's really great to hear this topic of conversation, Mark, and it's also great to hear Adam. And, yes, some of the recent outcomes of the things that we've been working on as a group has been more positive. But, you know, I'm going to speak from I-83, March the 7th, 2013, when, you know, when you had a homeless encampment in place for 5 years, and ever since then it has really been a silent cry from our encampment tent livers in reference to Housing First. Housing First is the solution, and sometimes I think we get too caught up in all of the logistics and the protocols and the procedures instead of just realizing these are people's lives that we are talking about. And, you know, and I have to come from that point as a housing provider and working with the homeless individuals every day to the point of Housing First is the solution here.
Right.
And I'm real grateful in this past 3 weeks, the activities of a lot of the other service providers, you know, coming together makes a difference because, you know, we did get a response from the mayor and we are getting a response to awareness. But when you look at the mayor's Office of Homeless Services, we've had three vital individuals as of to yesterday. They no longer have an executive director.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of lack of consistency when it comes to these people's lives. And it has to be a priority put in place because when you put insensitive people in a position to take care of vulnerable individuals and administrative costs be the only thing that's their focus, we're going to have this situation getting rampant and running out of control.
Christina, thanks so much. I appreciate you being part of the show and your thoughts. Let's get a couple of callers in here and get their thoughts in and let you kind of wrap up for us here. 410-319-8888. Chris, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going? My name is Chris. I'm a nurse, and I just I work with some wonderful people. I have worked with wonderful people in a hospital setting, in particular the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And we have really wonderful people that work there that are called case managers. They are professionals like nurses or social workers that are able to connect people to resources in their own community. Now, my question is, I have heard, I'm not sure if you all have, but I've heard of police officers, and I'm not saying that they're the answer, but they have other cities have utilized police officers and paired them with case managers. So when they are called to particular spots for whatever reason, a case manager would be able to help them out to sort through the situation instead of just treating people as if they are breaking the law. Now the police are being able to have this I guess like mediator with people within the community, especially with the homeless, with connecting them to other facilities, because I work with a lot of homeless people too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them actually don't know about healthcare for the homeless, which is, you know, pretty surprising to me. They don't know about the resources that are available to them, and when we do tell them about it, all that we do is give them a phone number or a location instead of like helping them to directly go. I guess that's it. That's all I have to say. I'll take it off the air.
That's a lot, Chris. Thank you so much. We'll get one more comment here and then turn back to our guest, Adam Schneider, 410-319-8888. Sodoro, you're on the air.
Yes. This is Sodoro Johnson, and I just want to mention that when you talk about moving the homeless, the encampments under the bridge and moving those people elsewhere, it's going to force them to go to abandoned homes. And I personally witnessed a dead body in an abandoned home, and the police came. I asked questions, and they said there was noise going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will you open it up to, you know, rats and rodents that particularly live in those abandoned buildings, it exposes them to when they are using matches and candles. It creates fires in those abandoned homes, and it's already a problem just with the homes sitting there.
Right.
Squatted and homeless people move into those areas. When you have them all together in that under the bridge, at least you're able to get to them. Give them the services. Once they move out and spread out, it's harder to get to them. So we do need to try to keep things together, keep things in proper order. We know it's not right. We know it's not the proper thing to do, but we have to keep people together and work on them as a team.
So, Dora, I really appreciate your thoughts. Let me turn to Adam, and I will just make one editorial comment here. But this segment may go over just a little bit longer, just so we can get this your comment in, and if we can get on the caller, and that would be great. But I actually would go as far to say, leave the encampments alone. People need to see the homeless people living in our community. Maybe then we'll begin to think about what to do about it, rather than hiding them away in places we do not see. And for their own safety, they'll be living outside.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what Christina and Chris and Sidoro all said, and you too, Mark, are really, really important points. We do need to be connecting people up with services, and we need to be meeting people where they are, which, if that's in encampments, that's a much easier place to connect people to case managers and other resources than hidden away in more anonymous corners of our city and society. And Christina is right. As a model, what we need to embrace as a city, and what the city has ostensibly embraced, is housing first. That is recognizing that housing is the cornerstone of everything that we do. Housing is the solution to ending homelessness. So we need to embrace that both as a model, and then we need to ensure that there is an adequate supply of housing and services available to folks. It's only by doing that we can really stop having this conversation, right? I mean, we started off by saying, boy, we keep having this conversation over and over again.
Right.
I'm really tired of having this conversation. Instead, let's have a conversation about how we address poverty. Let's have a conversation about how we address the affordable housing crisis in Baltimore that the city itself recognizes. Let's have a conversation about how we invest in marginalized and excluded individuals and communities in our city so that we don't have to have this conversation about trying to push this out of our minds.
So if I can get these next two callers, I'll take these two, can do them very quickly, and I'm going to ask a caller coming in now to just real quick thoughts, because we do have to move on to our segment about Marilyn Mosby, 410-319-8888. We go to Kenneth.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Kenneth.
I am too tired of hearing about what these politicians want to do. But I'm going to tell you right now, homelessness should be the forefront of political, and you know, when you're trying to get into the mayor's seat. Whatever mayor, candidate running for mayor that takes care of homeless people and actually put them in affordable housing will be the mayor of the city.
Well, one would hope.
Huh?
I said one would hope. It hasn't happened yet, but one would hope. Right.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, it's a serious, serious thing. And you don't have to, you can see him every day. Well, you and I, we see him every day, but the politicians act like they don't want to see him. I call the mayor's office every day and give her ideas to her secretaries about what to do about the city, about keeping the kids off the street with the curfew. They had, you know, and this is sort of off the subject, they had the gay and lesbian parade.
Right.
And do you know that they had young teenage kids out there after 10 o'clock that night? Roaming around in my neighborhood, you know, and so it's a whole lot of issues. But
all right, Kathy, I have to go to the next caller only because we have less than a minute left in this segment. And William, a very quick thought from you. Very quick thought. William, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, very quick thought, because we're almost out of time in the segment.
Yeah, I was just thinking of campgrounds that we went to Cunningham State Forest in Pennsylvania. And it's basically a campground. It has a centralized bathroom. It has pads that you rent. Couldn't the city set up something similar to that, where the people would have a centralized bathroom for the hygiene, but also have a kind of like a safe space, and also interview the people to find out what skills they have? Because some people may have lost their home because they lost their job, but they may be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, could be a carpenter. to find out some of the skills that they have, make a like a database, and then try to get people reconnected. Because I never hear anybody say, we have a database of people that have skills, but they don't have a place to live.
That's a really powerful point, William. I think that's been that's something we always overlook in the amount of people in those who are homeless who have the skills just need a chance to step up and get a job with those skills.
And many people are working. I mean, many people who are in our shelters, who are on our streets, are working. And some of the people that are in the encampments can't access shelters because to get into shelters, you almost can't have a job just because of time. So I think that this is really important, and moving this conversation away from what do we do about encampments, and instead, how do we address the fundamental causes of homelessness, that is poverty and the lack of affordable housing. That's really where we need to go as a community.
Adam Seidel, thanks for the work you do. Thanks for coming in today, doing this with us. Adam is Director of Community Relations for Healthcare for the Homeless, and we'll stay on this as we have been for the last 22 years until we get everybody a home in Baltimore.
Hear, hear.
Good to have you here.
Thanks, Mark.
On our way to break, we're hearing Highway 61 Revisited from Bob Dylan's album of the same name. Mike Bloomfield, who played guitar on that album, was born on this day in 1943. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dwight Pettit and Tom Ronick to look at Councilman Branch's idea that some of the cases, like Tyrone West and Anthony Anderson, need to be reopened by the new state's attorney. We'll be right back.